He's risen. He's conquered death. He's conquered the main thing, the one thing. He's conquered the worst thing. He conquered death. If he can conquer death, he can conquer your sin. If he conquered death, he can conquer your darkness. If he conquered death, he can conquer it all. He is risen. And every one of us in this place that come to this place today with a burden or with a struggle, with a hardship, with a regret, whoever comes to this place today with a huge burden on yourself, I want to tell you, he conquered death. He can conquer this thing in your life right now. Right now, right here, so that you're no longer controlled by that. You're no longer controlled what conquers you in this life, that conquers your flesh, that conquers your mind, because Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen today. He's risen. And because he's risen, you get to rise. You get to stand and rise while everyone else falls and bows and stays there. But you and I have this great Savior, Jesus Christ, living in us, who is risen. Our God is alive. Our God is alive. If he's alive, he's conquered the grave. And he'll conquer whatever you think is darkness or death or the grave in your life. That's who he is. That's who we worship. That's who we follow. Are you worshiping? Are you following? Are you believing? Because I want to tell you this, just that God has come. God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, he gave this Son for you and for me. We talk a lot about the cross. We don't talk enough about the resurrection. It's the resurrection. It's the resurrection that crushed the head of the enemy. It's the resurrection where the enemy realized he was done for. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know him, if you have put your faith in him and you've put your trust in him and you've been born again and born from above, I want to say this. The Spirit of this living God is living in you and me because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't celebrate the resurrection once a year at Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day of our lives, because we came out of that grave. We came out of that grave and we were risen with Christ with him. Do you believe this today? Yes. I want to be controlled by this, not by anything else in this life. Controlled by the love of Christ, by the love of the Father, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you weary today? Are you struggling today? Is there things in your life that are just dark? I'll tell you, you've got a Heavenly Father who conquered it all for you. To live in this life right here, right now. Would you receive that today? Would you receive that gift of the conquering Savior, Jesus Christ, the conquering warrior of our lives today, who died, yes, died on the cross, but he was placed in the grave, but he rose again. Let's live our lives through that kind of lens, through that kind of prism, so that we would live the same life that Jesus Christ lived, bearing the image of God, reflecting that image and that character, because he indeed is our Heavenly Father. Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. It changes everything because he conquered death. He bore our sin. He shed his blood on the cross. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And he bore the sin and he bore the pain and he bore the darkness. And he was placed in that tomb. And the enemy thought it slipped by him. But then you rose on that third day. You rose so that every one of us in this life and history could put our trust in Jesus Christ and rise from the dead. And then one day, Lord, to rise again. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. I want to tell you, just thinking about in the just where we've been the last few weeks about what controls you. You know, I've been thinking about my parents. You know, I lost my dad 3 months ago. And, you know, I was thinking about my dad and my mom, and just kind of wrote a couple of things down, and that I'm just really, really great. Because, you know, one thing I never, ever doubted about Mike and Carol Fritcher was that they loved me. They loved us. They poured out their love, and it was a great love. And I believe that the love in my early years that my parents poured out on us defined me. As I grew up, it motivated me. It compelled me. It constrained me, like we've been talking about. And the reason why is because as I've been thinking about this message today, I was just loved. And I want to tell you, there's nothing like a child, a teenager, an adult, and a 60-year-old guy, well, not 60 yet, so a 59-year-old who still knows he's loved by his family, by his mom and his dad, well, my mom. And it defined me in so many ways. You know, I think when I think back over the sovereignty of God in my life and how God, I felt, protected me from a lot of different things. It was not because I feared my parents or I feared their discipline or there was some big shadow following me, waiting for me to mess up. No, I just didn't want to ever disappoint my parents that loved me. Never wanted to disappoint them. And it wasn't like a big fear thing. And sometimes I didn't think about it when I was tempted in things or I was invited to certain things of the world. But the overarching thought, especially as I was found Christ and knew I was going to wanted to please the Father, but I never ever wanted to see disappointment in their eyes. Now, I'm not talking about just being a man pleaser. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a loving mom and dad who were far from perfect, who I knew they loved me. I just never ever wanted to disappoint them. And you know, I think that's a great way to live. It's a great way to live. It's a great way to have such an affection for your children and a love for your children that they grow up really not wanting to bring disappointment to you. And it's not like my dad ever said you got to live up to the Fritcher name. Because to be honest with you, the Fritcher name was nothing really. No, he didn't make that kind of statement. I never heard him make that statement. I never even heard him make the statement even similar to that. He never said, remember if you're a Fritcher. Because there were some pretty unsavory Fritchers. I was compelled by the love of my mom and my dad. So when we get to this passage that we've been jumping off at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, where Paul says in his life and his ministry that he is compelled by the love of Christ, it was no stretch, it was no leap for me. It was not something that I had to think about. It's not something that I had to work through. It's none of that. It just came easy to me. It just comes easy to think about the love of Christ and the love of God and how much He loves you as your Father. And I think we call Him Father, but I don't think we really understand. I don't think we really give a whole lot of thought to how much God loves us. I just really believe in the heat of temptation or the heat of being hurt or the heat of whatever goes on in my life that causes me to respond or causes me to sin or causes me to do whatever it causes me to do. If I can just think of this great God who loves me, He loves you. This Father who loves you and me. It's, you know, I think about this also. I think about times when I've heard people say, when I was little, hey, that's Mike Fritcher's boy. That's Mike Fritcher's son. I knew my dad, and I knew my mom, and they knew, and they loved me, and I found such identity with that. And, you know, I think about that with God.
I think about that with this Father. I think about this with Jesus. See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says it. He says, the love of Christ controls us. It compels us. It constrains us. And having concluded this, verse 14, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all. Now watch, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Do you catch this? Do you catch this about this series? It's the love of Christ that controls us. We have died to, Jesus has died for all, so that we who live may no longer live for myself, to no longer live in a self-directed way, but for me and my family and for all of us in this body of Christ called Cottonwood. We live for him who died and rose again. Rose again on our behalf. That's who we live for. We're constrained by the love of Christ. And truly, as we've been talking about, the love of Christ is the love of God. Because really, Jesus really never separated that. You understand that, right? I mean, Jesus was perfect man, perfect God. Perfect, he was God and he was man at the same time. Now, like I said last week in another area, I don't understand that. And if you think you understand it, you don't. Okay? All I know is that God came in the flesh. It's Jesus. He was perfectly God. He was perfectly man. And his Godhead was at work. It was at work in his ministry, in his life. It's interesting because in Isaiah 9:6, it says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called, do we have that one? Isaiah, I'm sorry. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called. Now watch this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, what's the third? Eternal Father. Say that with me, Eternal Father. Do you understand? Listen, he's mighty God. He's eternal Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. Amen? He's God. That's who he is. He says, you might say, preacher, you're preaching in the choir. We know this. Question, do I live this? Do I live it? In John 10:30, the Bible says, I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Again, the second time. Pick up the stone, let's stone him, let's kill him. Why? Because to say this, to say that I and the Father are one, it makes himself God. And they don't like that. They don't want that. I'm gonna say this too. Every other world religion that is hostile toward the gospel is the same spirit here. Because Jesus is not God. And we say Jesus is God. He's our God. He's eternal Father. And they've picked up stones to stone him. And then in John 5, 8:58, it's talking about the first time they did it. Picked up the stones. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. And so, therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus is God. He's eternal Father. And if you want to be controlled by the love of Christ, you must know your Heavenly Father and His love for you. Knowing who we are in Christ or in the Father can never happen until you know that God is your Father. He is your Father. And I don't know what kind of home you grew up in, if you even grew up with a dad, or if a dad that was not present, or a dad that was not that did not show Christian love and Christian life. And sometimes I know that's hard. That's hard for those that have grew up like that. But I want to tell you, when you come to know who Jesus is and what God's done, and you come to bow to Him and as a Lord and as your Father, you'll never know. You'll never come to a true identity in Jesus And this is what God wants to do. He wants to have this relationship. He wants to reveal his life to us as the Father. Now, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. I mentioned this passage of Scripture a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week. But I want to look at John 3 a little bit this morning, and then one other passage, actually. So 1 John chapter 3, okay? I want you to see what he says. Chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, please, please look at this right now, right here. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called children of God. And we've already said Jesus is eternal Father, right? It's the love of Christ. It's the love of God. It's the love of the Father. And he says, listen, we are children of God. We have this relationship with God that is intimate, that is gracious. And then he says, it's with a certain destiny. And he says this, listen, this is the reason the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. It did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him will purify himself just as he's pure. Now, you know, I think about this great passage of Scripture and to really, really take hold of it. He's our dad. Paul talks about it in Romans, our Abba Father, an intimacy with him. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him with an intimate, affectionate, growing relationship with this great God. And here's the question, do you have that? Do you have that? Do you have this relationship with God who comes along and he's not like an earthly father that just knows how to give good gifts? He gives good gifts to. He gives good gifts to his children. And the Bible says this, in one place he gives good gifts, and the other gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Listen, he is the God. He is the God who loves you and gives and gives and gives and gives. The question, am I receiving that from his hand? Am I receiving this whole thought that this is the Father who gives good gifts? He gives the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he not only does that, but he's not dealt with us according to our sins. Do you understand that? Keep your place in 1 John and go to Psalm 103. And great psalm. Well, I get the Psalms. Psalm 103. Well, let's just begin the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He's made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. And the Lord is compassionate, and he's gracious, and he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive, but nor will he keep his anger forever. Watch, he's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Watch, and just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, because he knows our frame, and he's mindful that we are just dust. This great God who has not dealt with us according to the Spirit, according to our sins. You are the child born by him. Is that true? Born by him. He birthed you. Now, I know we're going to skip to one more verse, passage, and I want you to go to John 3 with me. Now, you must know your heavenly Father and his love for you if you want to really be controlled by the love of Christ. Second, For you to know your Heavenly Father, you must be born again. So John chapter 3. And by the way, when you look at this passage of Scripture, this is a conversation with a guy named Nicodemus, okay? And you know the famous verse, John 3:16? This is who he's talking to right here. He's talking to Nicodemus. Watch. Verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Okay. That's a pretty good confession, but that's not the confession, is it? God's with you. Oh, wait a minute. I'm God. God's with you. Well, no, God is with us. He's God. And I'll tell you, a person who is not born again can never, ever understand this. Will never, ever comprehend it. And Nicodemus says, I see these works you do, and I see these things you do, and I see all that comes out of your hands. And I mean, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, because no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with them. And Jesus answered and said, watch this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't see the kingdom. He can't see God. He can't see the ruler of the kingdom, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, unless he's been born again. In the Bible, and the word is to be born from above. A new birth has to take place. A new nature has to come into being. A relationship with God in Christ Jesus means that you are reborn. Born from above, born of God, born of the Father God. Nicodemus can't see the kingdom. He can't see God. He can't see who God is. He can't see what God's done unless you've been born again. And Nicodemus said to him, how then can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? You got to be born again. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? How can a man be born again? It's an utter impossibility. Medically, it's impossible. How can he do it? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? You got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about what God does, who God is. And you got to know who God is and what God does before you know who you are in Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of speculation, a lot of study through the ages of what that means, to be born of water and to be born of the Spirit. I'm just going to tell you what I believe it is. I don't think it's baptismal waters. Okay? Some people think that this is baptismal waters. When I was born, the water broke. I was born of water. He's talking in context of the first birth. You got to be born the first time. And then you got to be born not by water, not physically. This is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual reality where you get changed, where you have this sinful nature, you have this sinful direction, you have this life that you follow that has no purpose, that always comes up wanting, always comes up lacking, no matter how successful you are in business or successful you are in relationships or successful you are at even church. The born-again experience changes you because you become a child of God. And I want to tell you this, there is a distinct difference between a child of God and the child of the world or the child of the devil. Amen? A distinct difference. He says, listen, that which is born of flesh, there's the context again, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You must be born of God. To see the kingdom and to enter the kingdom of God. There's no other way. There has to be a new birth. Folks, I want to just tell you, this is a whole lot deeper than just accepting Jesus as your Savior. You hear what I'm saying? It's a whole lot deeper than this. Now, maybe that's how we started. Maybe that's how we just could understand it the best. But I want to tell you, when you come to Jesus, when you come to Him and you confess your sinfulness and your need for a Savior, and you know and believe in your heart that God, that He died on a cross and that God raised Him from the dead, and you place that faith in Him, that what He did 2,000 years ago, He did just for you, and that you're not just gonna make a little decision here and then walk away and see nothing else happen in your life. That's not what happened. That's not what happened when you were born. I mean, you grew. Everyone in here, I'm talking to everyone in here. You were born the first time, and your mama and your daddy, or your mama or your daddy, they took care of you and raised you, and you got out of that womb, and one day you rolled over. Do you remember that? You rolled over. And then maybe a couple weeks later, you got up on your knees. You started rocking, right? Remember that? When I say remember that, I'm thinking about my kids. I'm remembering my kids, okay? All right. And then one day, you walk into your baby's room and he's standing up. And boy, I really wish I had a smartphone during that time, you know. The camera on my phone. He just stood up. And it took a while, right? I mean, he was crawling. He stood up and he started to walk. And we were right there with him. And we were right there with her. Nurturing them. Taking care of them. Why? Because that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my boy. That's my girl. They belong to me. They belong to me as a husband. They belong to me as the wife, as a wife, or as a mom, or dad. They belong to me. It's my boy. That's my girl. It's my daughter. That's my son. And they start walking. And then they throw their first fit. And you know what? Nobody really taught them to throw the fit. At that particular point, they didn't see you throw a fit. They threw a fit. Why? They're born the first time. They've not been born the second time. They come in this life, the Bible says, with sin. Original sin. Very important. They come. They've not been born again yet. And so we as Christians, we as believers, as we're raising them up to walk and to run and to practice self-control, and to by the time they're 3 and 4, they're putting their stuff up, because if you don't learn it 3 and 4, you'll never learn it. Well, most of us won't. And we learn it. We teach them. We teach them to do these things. We teach them to live. We teach them. We teach them how to act. We teach them how to act at a restaurant. We teach them how to act. Why? Because they're my boy and my girl. And you know, I just think about that. I think about they grow up. And I'm not saying there's any guarantees of what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, your kids were defined in a lot of ways of how you brought them up, and how you treated them, and how you were with them, and how you responded to them. Listen, that's who they are. They're your boy. They're your girl. That's Mike Fritcher's boy. And you know what? He can grow up and say, yeah, that's Mike Fritcher's boy. He always loses his temper. He's Mike Fritcher's boy. Or that guy there, he's faithful just like his daddy. Hard worker just like his dad. And we've heard it all. We've seen it all. And I guess the question for us in this place, especially for you young dads and young moms, is how are we raising our children? And it's not just how I teach them and what I say, it's how I live it. And I have this great God who caused me to be born again. And I can't know him unless I'm born again. But I want to tell you this. I remember some of the very first times that if from my memory, 2 and 3 years old, of beginning to understand who that man and who that woman is. I don't think dogs and animals can do that. Oh, they know you're somebody. Oh, there's that nice woman. There's that nice man, you know. They don't know your name. But man, I tell you, when you grow up, you know. You get to know the name. I remember the first time, first grade, when I wrote out the word, when I was able to write out the word Fritcher. I remember it. Fritcher. I remember as a young kid knowing that's my dad, and I knowing that's my mom, and saying, that's my dad, that's my mom. And I'm saying all this to say is, this is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you right now, right here. It's my dad. I belong to him. I belong to God. Why? Because I was born again, born by the Spirit. I was born by water, I was born in this world, and then one day I gave my life to Christ, and I was born again. Or maybe it happened simultaneously. I don't know. Here's the question. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Because if you've not been born again, you can never be controlled by the love of Christ. You can never, ever be, like we talked a couple weeks, you can never, ever be patient, kind. You can never be patient, kind, unprovoked, and never keep a record of wrong. That's what love is. I mean, it is. I mean, there's some other things in there, but I just kind of picked those out because they make sense to us. Love is kind, right? Love is patient because we struggle with patience. Love is kind. Now, most of you in here, and not all of you, I mean, you're pretty kind people when you're around me, at least. But man, when we get to this unprovoked, that's what love is. It's unprovoked. When you're controlled by the love of Christ, I'm just going to tell you, when you're controlled by the love of Christ in that moment, you will not be provoked by the enemy. And you know what I think? I don't think that's anything kind of hard. I mean, I don't think that's hard to believe. I mean, don't you? I mean, why? Because we're children of this, our Father. We're children of our Father. And we're controlled by His love. And then I get to the place where I don't keep a record. I don't keep a record of anybody in my life that's wronged me. And I'm going to tell you, this is what it means to be born again. And I want to ask you a question, have you been born again? Oh, I walked the aisle, I said yes to Jesus, or I got baptized, or I did this, or I did that. No, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Because when you're born again, God is your Father. And when God is your Father, you can be controlled by His love and constrained by His love and compelled by His love. No longer compelled by the flesh or by what man says or what man does or whatever happened to me when I was a little boy or a little girl or the sin I've sinned in the past. I'm no longer controlled by that. I'm no longer yanked by that. I no longer have a button even to push at that one anymore. Wouldn't that be great? You can't push my button. Because there's no more button. Man, someone got that. There's no, but I'm going to tell you, this is the new nature where I relate to my Heavenly Father and I'm controlled by His great love. And you know, I just think that John goes on and he talks about what it looks like to be a child of God and to be controlled by the love of Christ. Listen, to be controlled by the love of Christ, to go back and listen to a message or see the notes that we've seen, listen, you can't be controlled by the love of Christ unless you know your Heavenly Father, unless God is your Heavenly Father and you know of His great love for you, that God, this God who you were born again to, you were birthed into the family of God. You were born again. But I want to get back to one other thing. Has that happened to you? Have you been born from above? And there's a new nature in you, and you know it. You know that you know that you know that you know that I'm not the same person that I was because I was born from above. I'm no longer the same fleshly, carnal person. Now listen, I know in those first months, maybe first years, there's some struggle. And there'll always be struggle. One form or fashion. But when I'm trained by the love of Christ, I'm going to grow into maturity with Him because that's what He said. Listen, He birthed us. We're children of God, right? It's not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, like God, like the Father, like our Father. I can't tell you how many times I grew up and said, you look just like your daddy. And how many times my brother said, you look just like your mama. It's genetic. And it's just this powerful genetic thing that takes place, and John talks about it. Have you been born again? See, to be born again means you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God right now, right here, you can be controlled by the love of Christ. You can be controlled by being patient, by patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You can be controlled by this great love. You can be controlled by the fact that I won't be provoked today because I'm a child of the King, and I won't take into account a wrong suffered. And you know, by the way, if I've got a wrong suffered right now that I've been taking care of because I'm controlled by the love of God, I am going to right now take care of that and no longer be offended by what you did 10 years ago. I'll no longer be controlled by that. I won't be controlled by that anymore. If you go back to 1 John, we'll finish this for this time being. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to just show you what he goes on to say. Because he says, listen, the whole point of this passage of Scripture is that the children of God love. They love one another. That's what they do. They're controlled by love. So after he says, hey, the love of the Father, he's bestowed upon us. We're called children of God. That's our God. That's our Abba. That's our Daddy. That's who he is. That's our God. That's our Father. And we are children of God. But look what he says. Look what he says in verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there's no sin. And no one who abides in him continues to sin or practices sin. That's what it means. Practices sin. And no one who's practicing sin has seen him or known him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. I would tell you, do you believe this today? Do you believe that you've got such a great nature that this Jesus who came into your life, he came to take away your sin? And I want to tell you, every one of us in this place said, yeah, he comes to take away our sin. Right? But did you know he came to destroy the works of the devil just as much as he came to forgive the sin? Just as much. And you say, I don't understand that because I look at my life and I look at my flesh and I look at the patterns sometimes of my life. I believe I'm forgiven, but has he really come to take away my sin? And this is where the great principle of Scripture is met by faith, birth, by God in the Spirit that says, yes, he can. Or it's not good news, folks. It's not the gospel. Listen, he says it. It's the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. And I'm saying this, folks, just to let it fall where it wills. But my whole motive here is to encourage you. My whole motive here is to say, look, this is who you are in Christ. This is the God who loves you. You're his child. You're the one that he chose. You're the one he's adopting. He's the one who birthed you. By this the children, verse 10, of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one, watch, who does not love his brother. Because this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, who slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of death. Watch, we've passed out of death because we, and into life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother, he's a murderer. And no one has, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And we know, love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And we'll know by this that we are of the truth and will sure assure our hearts before him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence with God. And watch, and whatever we ask, verse 22, we receive from him because we keep his word and we do the things, watch, that are pleasing to him. As a boy, I wanted to do the things that were pleasing to a godly mom and dad. As I've come to Christ at 8, and then as I grew, because his seed abides in me, I have a new identity. I'm still a Fritcher, but listen, I'm a child of the Heavenly Father who loves me, the one that I want to be controlled by, constrained by, compelled. Now, I'm not talking about, listen, when you talk about control, I'm not talking about a puppet on the string. Now, listen, there is something for free will in this area. That free will means is that I'm choosing because of who I am and because his seed abides in me. I am choosing right now, right here, to love you instead of hate you. To love you instead of not forgive you. To love you instead of speak harshly against you behind your back. I choose to be controlled by the love of my Father because that's who we are and that's what we do. When I get that kind of faith, I want to tell you, get that kind of faith, the Spirit of God, he comes, and before you know it, you're doing Jesus things. Because he didn't do anything that he didn't see his daddy doing. And we want to be like Christ? You want to be like Christ? Try that. Do that. Live that. Am I sorry to clap in your ear? Do that. This is who we are. This is what we do. Ushers, come forward for the morning offering. You do that, okay? And I'm going to pray over it. And I don't have anything else here, so I get to talk a little more. Father God, I want to pray for this offering today. I want to ask in your name that your Holy Spirit would cause us to give out of love today. Lord, if God, just imagine if we're controlled by your love in everything, if we're controlled by your love in our finances, instead of out of need, but controlled out of love, imagine what we'd give, of our resources, what we'd give of our time, what we'd give of our talent, what we'd give of our words. Controlled by the love of Christ. Well, that's who we want to be. That's how we want to walk. That's how we want to live. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, as you bless the gift, as you bless the giver, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So here's the question, okay? Here's the bottom line. The children of God love one another. That's what they do. They love one another. Why? Because they have the seed of the Father in them. They do like their daddy does. And I alluded to something that we're going to look at a little bit next week in the same context in Romans chapter 8, and where he says this. He says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's who you are. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit then himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Are you born again? Has there ever been a moment that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God touched you and you received the Spirit of God and you got a new nature? That's what I'm asking. And if you're here today and you feel like, I don't know if I've done, I walked the aisle, I took the pastor's hand, I prayed a prayer, got baptized. No, I'm going to tell you, dude, if you don't know God is your Father and you don't know that you have a new nature and that the Spirit of God is in you, then I don't know if you're born again. And we want people to help you do that. And if you're new to us today, we've got people all over this property that can talk to you. Jeanette, stand up for a minute. If you're a lady and you're saying, I don't know if I'm born again, come see her. Okay. If you're a youth, Chance, stand up. College student, stand up. Any other adult? Rick's an elder here, and the guy with the plate right there, Rod. He's going to be counting money, so you might not look for him. You can come talk to me. I tell you, today can be the day that you're born again. And you have a new identity in Christ. Because of the love of God. And then guess what? You can begin this loving relationship with him that where you're controlled by the love of Jesus. Does that sound okay? Does that sound good? That's because it's good news, folks. He's come to save that which is lost. He's come to give light to that darkness. Listen, he has come to raise us from the dead because he's risen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now I want you to stand right now. I'm working on a new little blessing for us, okay? New little blessing for us. All right. And I've got it written down, so I got to read it. Okay, most of it. You got something, Jordan? What do you got? You want it now? Yeah, I'm going to be the last. Okay.
I just have a quick video about the worship.
Okay.
Conference.
How long is it?
It's just a minute.
It's a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
Go sit back down. A minute can be long.
Well, you know, I've been a worship leader, a worship instrumentalist, and even a sound technician for almost 20 years. And I see worship as being so important to the body of Christ, because not only does it bring us closer to God, but it brings us closer to each other. And you know, Scripture says we do not battle against flesh and blood. We battle against darkness. And what better way to do that than to sing praises to our Lord and Savior? So being a worship sound engineer, I guess coming from a musician standpoint, I always knew how important the sound engineering role was. But I've come to realize that it's probably one of the most important roles you could have. Because if the sound engineer doesn't share the same vision of the worship team and the worship leader, it can fall flat. But when the sound engineer is in tune with the heart of worship, it can really become something quite great.
So that's my dad, in case you didn't catch that. He's going to be coming and teaching a clinic on running sound for anybody who's interested. Again, it's October 5th, so it's the weekend after Cottonwood Creative. The morning is for everyone, absolutely anyone and everyone that wants to come and hear great sound teaching on what worship is and why it's so valuable to us as Christians. But it's also really important for anybody who's interested in being part of the praise team. There's a great opportunity for you to come and learn some things and for me to get to know you and to see if there's a place that I can fit you in to be involved with worship. So there's a sign-up sheet right outside. I'm sure many of you already saw it, but please sign up today. We need to start getting numbers for childcare and lunch. We're going to offer lunch that day. So if you would, just visit the sign-up sheet and sign up today. Thanks.
Okay, great. All right. Let's stand together. All right. So may the Lord bless you, yeah, by answering you in the day of trouble. May he set you securely on high. May he send you help from the heavens. May he send you support from Zion. May the Lord grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel and all your petitions. cottonwood. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but you boast in the name of the Lord our God. Listen, they've bowed down and they've fallen, but you have risen and stood up. Cottonwood, may the king answer in the day you call. God bless you and keep you, and may you bless the Lord and his people right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Why are you striving these days?